All right, Thaddeus, if you will come, please. I know you generally frequently just go by Thad, but I rather like the name Thaddeus.
That's how I was raised, Thaddeus. I switched over.
What's your middle name?
Jacob.
Oh, then we know what you heard frequently.
Well, it's good to be in church again today and to be able to spend some time together with brothers and sisters and just to be able to get into the Word. Good Sunday school this morning on out of Numbers 32 and just doing right in the eyes of the Lord and not walking in sin. And then this morning's service on a lot of different things, but one of them that stuck with me was what we learned about the relationship of the Holy Spirit and Lord Jesus Christ being symbolized by Moses and Aaron, and I thought that was very interesting. But many different things, and so I'm gonna go to a passage here this afternoon in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, we're just going to look at the first few verses here and talk about what it has to say here. And it is good to be able to open the Word of God together, even though we're not all together in body, but we're here. All right, well, let's just take just a minute here and go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on this time. Pastor Hain, would you ask your blessing on this time?
Father in heaven, we pray indeed for the leading of your Spirit in the service. We thank you for His presence with us this morning. And now we anticipate once again His work amongst us. We pray, dear Father, for Brother Thad, that you would use him to teach your scriptures in a manner that will accomplish your purposes and goals for our lives in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, Hebrews 13, and I'm just going to read through these first six verses, and then we'll discuss them for a little bit. But it says here, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So as I read through this passage, there's many things that just really stood out about it. The one statement here in verse 3, it says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. I thought that's a good illustration of the church being bound together. And when one member is sick, we're sick with them. One member is rejoicing, we rejoice with them. We try to, we need to do things together, be bound with them and as the body of Christ. And of course, this is a reference to being imprisoned. Paul spent much of his ministry in prison. And we need to remember those that are in bonds, those that are in prison or they're restricted some way and would desire for us to continue to pray with them and to have that closeness with them. But all throughout the book of Hebrews, there's so many amazing things throughout this whole book. We see chapter 11 and all the different many heroes of faith. And we come to chapter 13 and chapter 12 actually finishes talking about Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the general assembly, spirits of just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant and the blood of sprinkling. And it says in verse 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, speaking of Moses. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things which are shaken as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And then the last verse of chapter 12, for our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. We're receiving things that cannot be shaken. And we have a God who is a consuming fire. And it says, seeing that we have received a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Let us have grace. We have a God who can't be moved. We have a God who is a consuming fire. And the only way that I can stand in his presence is by his grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, by what he's done for me, that I have a Savior. And I have no hope but through the blood of Christ. And in the same way, we as a church need to extend grace to one another and let brotherly love continue. To be kind to one another, to spend time together, to enjoy fellowship with one another, have people over to your home, that kind of thing. But let brotherly love continue. And this principle of brotherly love will continue in us if we're saved by the grace of God. His Spirit's going to be working in us to allow this to continue. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Here we see, let brotherly love continue. And we're commanded to be mindful of this, to be kind to one another, and to build up the body of Christ, and to work together as the body of Christ. It says in verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Notice this brotherly kindness is still the right thing to do, whether or not the person is your brother. So I don't know if they're saved or not. Well, that's okay. Brotherly kindness is still the right thing to do. The Lord Jesus was kind to Judas Iscariot. He knew that he was a betrayer, but he was kind to him, and he was gracious to him right up to the very end. And we ought to have brotherly kindness one for another. And it says here, don't be forgetful to entertain strangers. Take them in. Reach out to them and allow them to have a part in your life. And we see this the spirit of adoption from Romans chapter I think it's 8, that talks about God hath not given us this. Let's look at that. Romans 8, chapter 15. Romans 8, 15. This is something that I've been thinking about a lot recently. But Romans 8, 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received, notice it says, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Elijah, one of his favorite things to say is Abba. Whenever I see him, I say Abba, because that's what he likes to say. It's an easy thing to say for someone that's just learning how to talk. And it's a way, it gives us the idea that we're very vulnerable before God and very comfortable with him. And how does that happen? Because he's not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but he's given us the spirit of adoption. He's given us the spirit of adoption. We don't feel like, oh, I need to prove myself to God. No, I can't prove myself to God. But Jesus Christ died for me. He gave his life for me to show his love for me. And I can feel comfortable with his love for me. And also with that is that he's given us the spirit of adoption so that we can extend that same spirit of adoption to others, that we bring others into our lives, that we allow them into our lives and to have a part in our lives. And we see this here in Hebrews 13:2, to not be forgetful to entertain strangers. Notice it says, thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Wow. Of course, I think many of us would think about Abraham and the three that came to him and were under the tree and they were talking. But angels bring a message. And what we do with strangers speaks a lot about our relationship toward God. It speaks a message about who we are. We entertain angels through the things that we do to strangers. Say, well, I'm never going to see him again. God sees how you're treating the stranger.
That's right.
And it's sending a message about our lives. Remember, Sarah was over in the door, and when the angels talked about her having a child, she laughed just in her heart, but she laughed. And they said, the messenger said, you know, she laughed. And she, no, I didn't laugh. And she, you laughed. They were watching. And many times we think nobody sees how I treat that person or this person. God's watching, and it's giving a message of our lives. We entertain angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, verse 3, as bound with them. Bound with them. That if somebody is in prison, then our heart is with them. I think of Brother Maury's ministry, he goes into the prison and has liberty behind bars and teaches the grace of God to those that are in prison. And I've had the opportunity to do that in some different jails and a prison for a while. And it's a great opportunity to minister to those who can't get out and be here in church. Right now, we have a situation where some people are concerned about health, and so we're not all able to get together necessarily this week, but we remember one another. We continue in prayer for one another, even though we're not able to share time together physically. We're sharing time together in the Word, and we continue to have a heart for them. We don't forget about those that are in bonds. Just because we don't see them, just because they're out of sight, doesn't mean that they're out of mind. They're on our heart. And Paul talked about that he made intercession for them just all the time, those that were in these different churches, and that he lifted up their names before the Lord. We as a church need to love one another and build up one another in that brotherly kindness and that brotherly love that the church ought to show. It says at the end of verse 3 here, "And them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." Oh, it's an interesting statement right there how it says it that way. It says, "as being yourselves also in the body." So the first way that I would read that, it would be, just like if it was my body. But the way that it's worded, it kind of also has the thought of, to me, just like you were part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Just like you were.
Yeah.
You know? Just like you were also part of the body of Christ. They're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the body of Christ. You're all part of the same body. Just like you were part of a living body. Let's build up one another and show brotherly love toward one another. As being yourselves also in the body. Mark 15:7. We'll just look at that. Mark 15. This is the other time in the Bible where it says bound with them. There's only just a few times in the scripture. I can't remember if there's another one or if it's this time and that time there in Hebrews 13. But here it's talking about the Lord. Barabbas being bound with the Lord there. "And there was one named Barabbas which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection." So they were bound together. Jesus was bound with Barabbas. He was bound also with them. He went to the he allowed himself to be bound. He couldn't. It's not that he couldn't break free of those swaddling clothes that they wrapped him with. No, he had that. He had the power. He didn't have to allow himself to be bound. He didn't have to allow himself to be bound to that cross and crucified. But he gave himself. He allowed himself to be bound with us. He didn't look at us and go, "Well, that's their problem. They got themselves into sin, and they're gonna have to take care of it." He gave himself. He allowed himself to be bound with us. And in the same way, we look at the body of Christ and seek to be bound with them, that God would allow us to be a blessing to them. And all throughout 2 Corinthians, pastor's been going through that book, you see time after time after time where the apostle Paul talks to the church at Corinth and talks about how, that I'm glad when I'm weak and you're strong. You know, I'm glad when I have the opportunity to suffer so that I can build up the body of Christ and all these different difficulties that he goes through. He points back to the body of Christ and how he wants to build up the body of Christ. So we see that there. And then verse 4, marriage is honorable in all. And this is a familiar verse. I think it's a familiar verse to most of us, but the context of it's not especially familiar. And we almost come across this verse like we're reading about one thing and then all of a sudden we start talking about marriage. Yeah. And where did this come from? Because we are to be married to the body of Christ. We're one in this. We're one with the body of Christ. We're married to the body of Christ. So if Tim is going through a hard time, I don't go, well, that's his problem, you know, whatever. No, I'm broken about whatever he's broken about because we're part of the body of Christ. We're married together as the body of Christ. So yes, marriage is honorable and all. And it says marriage is honorable and all, including in spiritual things, in the body of Christ. It's honorable. It's an honorable principle that we're married to the body of Christ. Marriage illustrates how we can be the bride of Christ. And we're part of his body. We need to be knit together and built together as the body of Christ. Marriage is honorable in all. And the bed undefiled. Say, what's the bed undefiled? What does that mean? Well, it's talking about covetousness. I don't just say, well, you know what? I'm happy. I have enough, you know, food and things. And, you know, I'm going to take care of my own and let Tim take care of his own and you know, Pastor Payne take care of his own. No, we're working together. You know, we're raising money for this mission here. We're doing things as a church to try to reach out to others. And as a church, we need to look out for the interests of one another, not just our own interests. Covetousness is that defiled bed. When we become covetous of, I want to have more for myself. I want to have more honor for myself. I want to have more possessions for myself. I want to have, you know, more liberty for myself. And we're not esteeming others better. That's when the bed becomes defiled with covetousness. And we'll see this here as we continue in that passage. But covetousness defiles the bed. Notice it also says this, but whoremongers, wow, there's a word, right? We don't hear that too much anymore. Whoremongers, what does that mean? That means somebody who's just very morally loose. They just go around and they don't have morals. They live very, very loose. They don't commit their lives to anything. And this I see as the man who built his life on the sand. In the end of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus was talking about, he that hears these sayings of mine and does them not will be like unto a foolish man which built his house in the sand. They don't commit their lives to anything. They just live for the world. They're into the world. They're into whatever pleases them from day to day, but they don't really have any commitments. Whoremongers, God's going to judge. If we don't have any commitment to the body of Christ, God's going to judge us for that. We need to be committed not only to Christ, but also to the body of Christ, which is the local church and the people that God brings into our lives. And notice what it says, whoremongers and adulterers. Now, an adulterer is a little bit different. Adulterer is somebody that they got married. They have, there's wedding vows, but they broke those wedding vows. Okay? So you say, well, I'm saved. You know, I don't have to worry about the wrath of God on my life. I can live however I want to. Well, if you have that attitude, there's a major disconnect.
Yeah.
We ought to love God, and that ought to motivate us to do right. You know, the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We ought to care what he thinks and follow after him if we have the grace of God that brings salvation, and we ought to extend that grace to others. But here it says, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, which means if I'm committed to the Lord, I say I'm committed to the Lord and to his church. And that's what I'm telling people, and I'm saying that's what I'm doing. But I'm an adulterer. Then I go back and say, but I want my own. Like Ananias and Sapphira. Oh yeah, we sold it for that much. But they're holding back part, and they're trying to make a name for themselves, and they're not lying to men. They were lying to the Holy Ghost. They weren't telling the truth to God, and they were being spiritually adulterers. They were saying they were committed to one thing, but they weren't. And we need to, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the church, it's important that we show brotherly love, and that brotherly love continues. That I don't just pull away and say, well, this is what I'm going to do. But we continue to let that brotherly love be what directs us in our lives. And so again, this verse can be taken very literally, and it's a great verse to use very literally concerning the... Literally, I said it. I've been working on something, and Pastor Asquith was helping edit, and I said literally a few times, and he said, yeah, that word, you don't need that word. So... I said it though. But no, it can be used for marriage between a man and a woman, and marriage is honorable between a man and a woman. And if you're unfaithful to your partner, or if you don't have a marriage and you're just living loosely, God's going to judge you for those things. But it's also applied in a spiritual sense in the church, that we are committed to the Lord and we build up the body of Christ. And we're not loose about the way that we're committed to the body of Christ. We're not insincere, but that we continue to allow brotherly love to continue. And that is the context of this. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Well, there you go. There's the definition of what is the defiled bed. Covetousness is the defiled bed. Let your conversation, let your way of life be without covetousness. Don't do things because, well, you know, I need to make more money, or I need to, you know, I don't want to be painted in a bad light or cast in a bad light. So I'm going to, you know, avoid this or that. No, we need to follow after the truth. We need to follow after what God has for us, and we need to pick up our cross and follow Him. Amen. And if we don't do that, we're allowing covetousness into our lives. And He says this, and be content with such things as ye have. That's a big word, content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If we can have satisfaction in Christ, we have great gain. We ought to be content with the things that we have, the possessions that we have. We shouldn't need to climb a ladder of trying to become more affluent or successful, but to be content with what God's blessed us with, have a simple life, but make much of Christ. Make much of Him. What is my life about? Him. What do I have when all the dust of my life settles? There's nothing greater than my relationship with Jesus Christ, that He loves me, that I can be loved by Him. I think you said Pastor Prati had made that statement about what can you ask for more than love and acceptance?
Amen.
Right? It's a great statement. There's people that have been very successful in the world who are miserable. Because they have no relationship with their family. They have no relationship with people. They don't care about people, and they're miserable because they live for themselves.
Right.
The greatest thing in life is to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us enough to tell us what we are and how we need to change, and help and allow us to make those changes and to grow and to break free from the chains of sin. So we should be content with such things as we have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's a promise of God that He will not leave us, that He will not forsake us. Look at Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. I'm going to wrap this up here soon. Exodus 33. And verse 15, Exodus 33, verse 15. And this is in the context of Moses. We'll go back up to verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses is saying, I can't take care of these people. These are your people. You need to go with me. Like when Jesus challenged Peter to feed his sheep. We can't do that. We need to find his strength to do that. We need to walk in the Spirit in order to feed his sheep. Verse 15, and he said, verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. And Moses responded, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? How am I going to see? How are the people going to know that I've had grace in your sight? This is how they're going to know. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. It's what sets us apart as Christians is that we can have the presence of God in the hard times. We can have the presence of God in the good times. We can have God's presence with us. And as Christians, we must have the presence of God with us. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, it's none of his. We must have the Spirit of Christ with us. And when we have his Spirit, that Spirit, not a spirit of bondage again to fear, but that spirit of adoption. When we have that Spirit, we're adopted. We're formally received, permanently received. And he doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. And because of that truth, we have this boldness. And it says, so that we may boldly say. I see this as him saying, I've committed myself to you so that you can be bold in your faith toward me.
Good.
Right? I can be bold in my faith toward him because he's committed himself to me. And he wants us to be bold in our faith. And if we're not going to be bold in our faith and in our actions and in our words and in how we follow him, if we're not going to be bold in who we are in him, if we're not going to have a bold spirit, I believe that we're taking away from something that God's intended for us, that we can come boldly under the throne of grace and find grace to help, that we may come boldly unto the throne of grace and find his help in our time of need.
Amen.
I don't remember the wording of that verse there, but we can have that boldness because of his presence, not because of our knowledge, not because of our abilities, but because of his presence. Because of his presence, I can know because of his presence. Yes, I read the word of God, and I need to study not to show myself to be approved unto God. But we have his presence. That's my authority. Not because of how much I've memorized, not because of how much I know, not because because of who I am, but because of who he is, that he's committed himself to me, and we are bold in him. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So if we don't have the money to do the things that we'd like to do, so if we get slandered by someone and get knocked down, it's okay. I'm not going to fear what man can do unto me. I'm not going to fear losing my reputation. I'm not going to fear losing my assets. I'm not going to fear what happens to me in this world because I have his presence, and that's what matters. By the grace of God, I have his presence, and I can be bold knowing he's not going to leave me. That's my source of confidence. That's what I stand on to move forward, is his grace. And he not only do I stand on him to move forward as my foundation, but he also allows me to move forward. He gives me his own blood and strength to be able to move forward. And I know his presence is in my life and working through my life, and I can be bold in that. I can be bold in that. And the way that this is expressed, I believe one of the best ways that this can be expressed is just to be kind to one another, to build up the body of Christ and show brotherly love and let it continue. Be kind to one another. Mm-hmm. And this is a very important truth. And I see that many times in a lot of churches, there's a lack of brotherly love.
Yes.
There's spirituality. You know, there's great men of faith, there's not brotherly love.
Yeah.
And it's not okay. We have to have this brotherly love. At Church of Philadelphia did, and there was an open door set before them that nobody can close, and that this principle is an important one. We need to be built together as the body of Christ and be bound together with them as ourselves also in the body. And that's the message here for this afternoon. So I'll go ahead and close in prayer, and we'll wrap it up here. Father, we do thank you for your love to us and for the privilege it is to know you, to be known by you. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would help us to show brotherly love toward one another, to build up one another. And Father, that we would please you as your own body, that we would walk in faith. And Lord, that you would help us to find our confidence and our joy in your presence, not in the things that we have or the reputation that we have, but in you alone, and that we would set things aside, Lord, that you would be glorified. Lord, help us to seek your face and to glorify you through our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you'd use this message to be a help to your people here. And Lord, help us to walk in this, Lord, and to study this and to think on this, Lord. It's a simple thought, Lord, that you've given us, but it's so important, Lord. And we need your strength to do this, to be kind and to build up your people. For we ask these things now. And Lord, we do pray also, Lord, for those that are out this week, Lord. And we know there's many that are sick and there's different concerns that people have about things right now. So Lord, we pray that you help us to keep our eyes on you. We pray that you'd strengthen your people, Lord, physically, spiritually, Lord, that you'd continue to bless this work here. Thank you so much for the great blessing that the church has been to our family, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us each to be a blessing to one another and to build up one another here in your body. For we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Turn around.